Sermon Study R2R number 24. The eighth message, titled Spiritual Tabernacle, was given at a Sunday school, February 19th, 1961.
We've been studying there in the portion of Jesus' tabernacle, which was the equivalent to Moses' table of showbread. And we've been learning about his commandments. And we've been learning how that there was a... Just like there was in Moses, a table of showbread, two rolls of bread there, six in each roll, which represented the bread of the crucified Christ and the bread of the resurrected Christ. And the two rolls together made the number 12, which is the number of government. And we see that number 12 in the new Jerusalem there, in the bride, the city which is called the bride of the Lord. And surely, if we're going to be in that bride, we're going to have to eat of the bread of the crucified Christ and the bread of the resurrected Christ and come under his government. And so we've already learned about the bread of the crucified Christ, and so now we're taking this other little stature of truth there, and we learned about the bread of love for his commandments, didn't we? And this morning he wants to let us eat the bread of the burning of his resurrection power. His resurrection power is a burning power. Did you know that? He said he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And we need the fire. And so we'll learn that there's a bread of shining. He wants us to be vessels of love, vessels of burning, vessels of shining, and vessels of salt. So we'll get around to these other two points, but this morning we want to take a little stature of truth about what it means to eat of the bread of his burning. Let's look at it here in Matthew, and then we'll go into the word of the Lord. In verse 15 here, we find the next commandment in the spiritual tabernacle. He says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. The only place for a candle is on a candlestick, so it can give light unto those that are in the house, unto those that pass by. The purpose of the candlestick in the Old Testament tabernacle was to give light in the sanctuary. There was no other light in the sanctuary except the light of the candlestick. And so the purpose of a candle is to put it on a candlestick. Now, we're just little candles this morning. Well, we sung that little song when we were children. Remember that little song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine? We sung that, and we used to put her, hide it under a bushel, and we'd say, no, I'm going to let it shine. Well, the only way you can let it shine is put it on a candlestick. And who is the candlestick? Jesus. Amen. And so it's just wonderful here how that he wants to give us a burning influence. And we can only have this burning influence as we put our light upon the candlestick of Christ and as we feed upon the burning of his resurrection power. I've been reading again this week Fox's Book of Martyrs, just a little bit here and there. And I enjoy reading that because it takes my mind back to that time and that area of Christianity where the people were real for God and how they burnt for the Lord. Even when they had such tremendous persecution, they did not hide their light under a bushel. They counted it a privilege. If you've never read that book, Book of Martyrs, you ought to get it. It'll do something to you. It'll probably make you ashamed of the kind of Christian you are in the day in which we live. It just stirs something in your soul book, and you just wish that you had the privilege of going back and living with those saints of God and giving your life as a martyr for Jesus. They had such love, such burning influence, that even sometimes their persecutors, when they're casting them to the fire and the den of lions and giving them to the sword and all that, sometimes the burning of Christ and His resurrection power was so great in them that they would fall down and accept the Lord right there and be willing to give up their lives. And of course, immediately when they accepted the Lord, they got the same treatment. And so that's what I've been telling the boys this week as we've been studying. I said, listen, God doesn't have a half a dozen different paths. He had one path for Israel when she come up out of Egypt, and they all had to come through the flood. They all had to come through the cloud. They all had to come through the Red Sea, which is water baptism, and they all had to go through Jordan. There's your little fourfold stature of experience that Israel had to go through in order to get to Canaan's land. God didn't have a half a dozen ways. He had one way. And so Jesus is the way, and His footsteps have shown us the way. And if His footsteps got hatred and enmity and jealousy and strife hurled at Him, beloved, you can mark it down. You're going to get the same thing. If you didn't, you'd be above the Master. And the Word says the servant is not above the Master. How we need this burning light. And I thought, my. And we have such a hard time getting people to come to the Lord, just a praying and a working. And I believe we're to have a little more burning in our heart for the Lord, beloved. I believe we had more burning. I believe if they could see, you know what would make those people fall down? The victory that those saints of God had when they would go to the fire or go to the sword or go to the lion's den. How they'd lift up their hands and rejoice. Sometimes they'd cut their tongues out because they couldn't stand to hear their praises. Then the people would lift their hands and wave their hands as a sound and a symbol of victory, that they couldn't cut out this victory in their soul. Oh, what a far cry from modern day Christianity, where people can't keep the victory over what people say about them and what people do against them. Beloved, what are you going to do if the time comes? And I wouldn't be surprised if it's not right around the corner. I think it is. I believe it is. What are you going to do when you may have to go through the same thing? And you read it. It went on not just for 1 year or 2 years. It went on for hundreds of years. And in the beginning, political Rome crucified and martyred the saints of God. And then ecclesiastical Rome came along with the same dragon disposition and slaughtered the saints of God. And it went on and it's been going on and it's still going on. Take you to places in Mexico where this thing is going on all the time. Sure, you don't hear anything about it in the newspapers or over the radio, because the people that are in control, it's the same thing that's going to happen in the day of the tribulation. Mystery Babylon and all the rest of her harlot daughters are going to ride upon the back of the beast for a season. And she's been doing it ever since she come into power, riding on the back of the beast, just like Jezebel rode upon on the back of Ahab, so to speak. And she got her power to slaughter the saints of God and the prophets of God. Beloved, we need to burn for Jesus. Praise God. And I've told you about the Apostle James. Don't think you've got all that God's got for you. Read about somebody else that's got more than you've got, and that'll stir you up. That'll make you ashamed of where you are in God. And I read about the Apostle James, how that he just lived in the temple of God, lived so close to God, he had this burning, a shining influence, and he'd just be standing there with his hands up and the glory of God all over him. And when people would come in, they'd fall down and give honor to God and come to God. He would be saying a word, just worshiping. What was he doing? He was burning for Jesus. Glory to God. He was giving his life and his light and had let the Lord place it upon himself. You see what I mean? You can't shine by yourself. A little candle don't give much light if it's set down under a bushel. But if you set, you just put one little candle upon a lampstand and it can light the whole room, can light the whole house. And so, my, we can't shine by ourselves, but we'll let the Holy Ghost bring us into union with the Lord and be placed upon Him as a candlestick. Beloved, we'll have a burning, shining influence that will touch somebody for God and stir up a hunger in their heart to go this way. Now then, and He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light, and that word light there is the same word in the Greek that is used for Jesus when He says, I am the light of the world. If any man follow me, he'll not walk in darkness, but he'll have the light of life. And so He said, let your light so shine. Let who shine? Let yourself shine? Let your own work shine? No. Let Jesus shine. Let your Jesus shine out to people. And let His work shine out. Oh, not your works, but His work shine out that He's a doing through you. Oh, that's the life that He had as He walked here in this world. Oh, He was the light, and He was set upon the lampstand of His Father. Hallelujah. And they were one. And He said, the works that I do are my works of my Father. And as that light shone forth, there were people that came unto Him as a result of it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now then, there's just some little truth there that I want to give you about a burning light, a shining light, where it is to shine. He said, let your light so shine before men. Let's run that word down there. Go with me to Matthew, the 17th chapter, and you find the same word there. Let your light so shine before men. And let's see how it shines here in the 17th chapter of Matthew. It's a real precious, full stature of truth. I just marvel as I study the Word of God, and I find it over and over laid out in the form of a cross. As we said before and say again, and we'll keep on saying, no wonder that Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because if you learn of Him crucified, you've got access to all the glory and the power of heaven because it was hid in that cross. Now then, in the 17th chapter, this is the transfiguration. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. There was just three of them here. Peter, James, and John that had the privilege to go further with the Lord yonder into a high mountain apart and was transfigured before them. And His face did shine. Oh, hallelujah. As the sun. And His raiment was white as light. Now then we find this burning light that He's talking about. It's the same word, this word burning as shining here. Let this light as shine. Let this candlestick that's burning, let this fire that's burning from this candlestick, let it shine out into man, unto man. But let's look and see where we'll find it. First we find this light in the face of the Son of God. Oh, it said that His face did shine. And what was the purpose of it? It said that His face did shine as the sun. And I told you, beloved, that the sun is the type of the priesthood of Christ. And this morning when I come into the church, we had a little talk around here last night, some of the little nucleus of around midnight here. And the Lord did something here last night. He's going to do some more for some of the rest of you. You're going to get in on it after a while. And they came and they stood and they were anointed to give themselves for prayer around the altar. I I've been on you about it before, and so you kind of let up on me a little bit. You haven't been helping me bear the burden. It's a tremendous burden when you come into the church and you feel all the yoke and responsibility hanging upon your neck, and there's no man holding your hands up that almost crushes you to the floor. Sometimes it's more than you're able to bear. And so God dealt with us here last night, and these saints of God were anointed. And this morning when I come in, they was down a praying up a storm. And my eyes, it felt so good to come in and have several under the yoke with me. And the yoke was easier and the burden was lighter this morning. And it just felt like the rays of the Sun of Righteousness coming through that door. Before I ever got into the door out there this morning, I could feel the warm rays from the priesthood ministry of the Son of God. I could feel the light shining forth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, how you going to find this burning? You're going to find it in the face of the resurrected Christ that will give you the spirit of intercession. Oh, the people might be a million miles away from you, but they can't get away from the rays of the Sun of Righteousness any more than anything in the universe can get away from the sun that's hanging in the sky. Today, its rays go out everywhere, and its rays penetrate in everything in the universe. And so it is, beloved, with the rays of the Sun of Righteousness. Oh my, what happened to Sister Pearl's brother out in California? It was the rays from the Sun of Righteousness that shone out of this little place and walked its way all the way out into the body of that man. Of his heart condition. And so, my beloved, don't misunderstand the power of intercessory prayer.
Amen.
So why do we want this burning? Because it will reveal the Son of God as high priest. Feed on the resurrection power of Jesus. And you can't feed on it, beloved, without the Spirit coming forth in you. Just like that. You get broken down. This is not going to shine forth until you feed over here on the bread of the crucified Christ. If you begin to humble yourself and get down low at His feet and begin to let Him break you up and plow up the fallow ground of your heart, then you'll begin to be exalted and begin to feed on His burning power. And when you do, when that thing just burns out, you can't hold it. It just rolls out. You can't keep it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now then, let's go to Luke, the 17th chapter, and let's see about this burning and shining resurrection power. God has put all these things in the Word for our admonition. He said so. And He said that all Scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16 is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. And He said these things are written for our admonition. Praise the name of the Lord. Now then, let's go to Luke 17:24. I think that's what I want. Yes. He's talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to verse 22. And He said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say unto you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven, and shineth under the other part of heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in His day. What is He talking about? When He comes again. as the King of Kings. This burning light is going to be flashing from one end of heaven unto another. Not when he comes to rapture his bride and steal away his bride, because that's going to be secret. That's going to be like a thief. And what is the coming of a thief like? He comes in and he goes out again, and you don't even know he's been there until after he's gone. And you wake up and discover something has happened. There's been a thief in my house, and he's stolen some things away. And that's the way it's going to be in the coming of Jesus for his bride. It's going to be secretive. It's going to be like a thief. And there's a lot of people that's not going to know anything about it until after he's already gone. And they wake up in the morning and they discover that their loved ones have been stolen away, that we're in the bride of Christ. Or they come home from work and they're going to go through the house and they're going to be looking for mama or the children. Or they're going to be looking for dad, and they're not going to find it because Jesus has stolen in like a thief and taken them away. Oh, my beloved, we need to be ready. Oh, that just stirs my heart all the time. I see so few people in the day and generation in which I'm living doing very little to prepare themselves. Let me tell you something. Every time you come and fall in at an altar of prayer, that's a little more preparation for his coming. That's a little more enlarging of your capacity. Beloved, don't waste your moments and don't waste your hours and don't waste your days, because they're going swiftly by. And don't think that you're going to be prepared without doing something about it. To prepare is really something that, as Brother was preaching last night. Now let's hurry on here. Oh, there's so much here to study about. And so this, he said, where is it going to shine? And what's this shining? What's this burning going to reveal? Let your light so shine. Who is the light? Jesus. Oh, I want to get that same light that was in his face on the day of transfiguration. Praise God. And he's got it for me, because he was a Moshandai. He was showing himself unto his disciples that day as the resurrected Christ, the transfigured Christ, the glorified Christ. I want that burning in my countenance, beloved, that when people look into my face, they'll see something of God, and they will. And I know they do sometimes a little bit, but there's just a little bit of what God's got a hold of. Did you know that? Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you get enough of Jesus in your face, listen, you won't have to worry about running away from people. I'm going to tell you, they'll run away from you. You boys that work there that are having troubles and ask me to pray for you and all that, you keep on eating of the bread of the crucified Christ and the bread of the burden of the face of the Son of God, and people will back off from you. They'll run away from you like you was a rattlesnake. You know why? Because that burning and that shining will condemn them and convict them of their hearts and their thoughts and their lives that they're living. I tell you all the time, and it's true, I'm the most unpopular person in all the world, except for those who want to go on for God. When people want to go on for God, I'm the first person they'll look up, and until then, they run from me like I'm a rattlesnake. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. And so we see this heavenly shining. He's talking about that heavenly burden that's going to be manifested, that's going to reveal the King. Amen. Praise God. And what's that heavenly? And that's that outward, that open. Oh, when Jesus comes again to set up his rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's not going to be ashamed about it, because this burning is going to be flashed from one end of heaven unto the other. And people are going to see him, and it's going to be a terrible thing, beloved. Oh, this burning is going to convict them in that day. They're going to fall down on their knees and cry for God, or rather cry to the rocks and the hills and so forth, the mountains, to fall on them, to hide from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Oh my, listen, let's not be ashamed. Let's let this burning shine forth, beloved. That's what the early saints of God had. They had a heavenly or an outward or open shining for God. Let your light so shine before men. And then let's go on to Acts 12:7. I'm showing you the same burning presence that he's talking about is manifested four different times in the Greek there through the word of the Lord. And so let's look at it. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. So we saw him here as the Son of righteousness, ministering with his priesthood. And up here we see him as the moon, the king. The moon is the type of his kingship. And now in this chapter, we will see him as the Star of David in his prophetic ministry. I want you to see what this burden will do. Put your light upon a candlestick and let it burn out. Praise God. Let the light of the burning shine forth unto the world. And don't be ashamed of it. And if you will, you'll keep on following on to know him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here's a little story about Peter. Not a story, but a real experience. Beginning in verse 5 in the 12th chapter of Acts. And Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God unto him. They were praying saints. Oh, bless God. They didn't let up on the horns of the altar when Peter went to prison. My, the Son of Righteousness began to shine forth. And so it wasn't long until something began to happen. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined, burned in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off of his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now when Peter was here in prison, we find this burning light from the resurrected Christ. Peter had been eaten of the bread of the crucified Christ, because if he had not have been, he would have recanted on the Lord when it come to all this persecution. But Peter didn't recant. He went right on to prison for the cause of the gospel. And because that he'd eaten of the bread of the crucified Christ, it wasn't long until this burning light, this shining light, appeared to him in prison. Blessed be God to lead him out of bondage. Isn't that wonderful? And so here we see the burning and the shining to reveal unto us as the prophet or the prophetic ministry of Jesus. Or there is your star, as we've learned before. This burning light shined down into Peter, unto Peter there in prison, and led him forth. Isn't that wonderful, beloved? Oh my, how wonderful to go to our prayer closets and wait upon the Lord, and for that burning light to shine down and lead us and guide us in the way and show us the way. And there was nothing that could hold Peter when that burning took place. The shackles fell off. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he just walked on out, and the door just opened of its own accord. Let's go to the next one. Praise God. This burning of the resurrected Christ will lead you to liberty. There's a lot of places in our flesh that we're still in prison. We're still bound by fear. We're still bound by attitudes and dispositions. And God will loosen you by the burning power of the resurrected Christ, beloved, if you wait upon him and he leads you forth. Let's go now one more time to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter there. And we see another place where this shined here. Praise God. In the 4th chapter there, in verse 3. Well, let's go back and read the whole thing. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. What a difference here. And some of the modern day ministers that stand behind the pulpit and work among God's people. Like a little sister was telling me yesterday of a certain minister where they had been in a church and had worked there, and how this man was always plotting and conniving and deceitful. You never knew what he had up his sleeve. And even when he's been nice, he had something, an underhanded motive by the whole thing. I said, that's enough to run anybody crazy. My, no wonder he's got ulcers. I'd have worse than ulcers. I said, it's bad enough. And you got enough responsibility keeping your mind on God and trying to follow the Spirit of God and trying to please Him. My, that's enough to run you crazy. Beloved, God said, let us renounce these things. And let Him seek us out and search us out. Sometimes your motive of your flesh is hidden, and sometimes it's crafty, and sometimes it's dishonest. But it's one thing about it, if you're waiting upon the Lord and feeding of the bread of the crucified Christ and eating of the bread of the resurrected Christ, this burning will burn down in there and reveal and show you and set you free and lead you out of the prison house of the flesh. Now then, let's read on here. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul could stand before his people, and he said, just let your conscience witness how I've ministered among you. I've given you the truth. I haven't had any motive except just to give the truth of God and see you go on. That's the same experience that Samuel had. He walked uprightly, and he was not crafty or deceitful. And in the end of his life, he could come down. And that's a wonderful way to come down and to be able to leave this world with that kind of consciousness in your heart. And Samuel said, witness against me. Whose ass have I taken? How have I worked deceitfully, he said, and received a bribe? He said, of whose hands have I received a bribe to blind my eyes so that I perverted a truth and justice and judgment? He said, witness against me. And there wasn't one of them that could rise and witness. Their conscience had to bear witness that Samuel was a true prophet of God that walked in sincerity and honesty and truthfulness. And he did not walk in craftiness. Paul said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, this is a different shining talking about here that's used here of shining toward sinners here. They're shining in to our hearts. This is resurrection power here. Let's look at it. He said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. He said, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we find another shining here. And we're not perfect, beloved, until we get this. Some of you studied with us, and you know what I'm speaking about. And so where are we going to find this shining? There is a special shining that God has for the heart. Listen to me. I know by experience, and I know by the revelation of the Word of God. What is this burning going to reveal? This burning of the resurrected Christ will reveal it as the priest. We've already learned that. It will reveal it as the king. It will reveal it as the prophet. And it will also reveal his glory. And we've been studying about the glory. And you know where that the glory is over here in the tabernacle. We've made much study upon it. And I've showed you how that the glory is that third realm of the Godhead. There's Son, and there's the Holy Ghost, and there's the Father realm, or the glory realm up on top. That's why Jesus prayed in the garden, or before he got to the garden there, and he said, Father, he said, glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before the world begun, when we was just one, and I lived under that canopy of glory. I was thinking last night, you know, I praise God. I don't care what men think about me. I don't care what they say about me. Beloved, I'm just after this hidden glory, and they don't see it, bless God. You can't prove to them that you're going on for God. You can't prove to them what you've got for God this morning, because the shaft of glory is a hidden thing that God puts through the heart, that no man will go shut down, that no mortal man sees it, and no mortal man feels it, beloved. And you can't prove to them that it's there in this day, but one day they'll see it there when they see me up there by my bridegroom. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I was thinking last night how good he is to me, and I was praising him. Come to the house of God, I didn't even have time to iron clothes to wear, and I just had to pick out some old clothes that I had in the closet, an old skirt I never do wear anymore, and it didn't look good at all. And so I come in looking a little worse than usual. And so you see, the Lord knew, and he just humbles you down in the face of your enemies and so forth. But if you're willing to take that, beloved, and eat of the bread of the crucified Christ, God will exalt you. Oh my, and exaltation is being able to be exalted up and lifted up at his table of spiritual things. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is a burden that comes from the resurrected Christ that will reveal his glory in your heart. Do you understand that fourfold revelation? Now, I never put this in the Word. He put it there. But he'll reveal himself, this priest, this resurrected Christ. Now, it takes a resurrected Christ to put forth the spirit of intercession, doesn't it, huh? It takes a resurrected Christ to rule and reign over you by his spirit. It takes the resurrected Christ to prophesy and lead you by prophecy. It takes the resurrected Christ to reveal unto you his glory. The Word says there, speaking of John the Baptist, that he was a burning and a shining light. He burnt for God. He burnt for God. And he was put upon a candlestick, and he went around burning for God. I wish I had time to give you some examples, because we want to be a burning, shining light. Let's look at John the Baptist. He was an example. Praise God. I wish I had time just to go right on and give you all those wonderful things. There's a stature, a cross of truth, of experience in the life and the ministry of John the Baptist as an example of this thing which we preach. But maybe we'll take it some other time, because time is drawing to a close for Sunday school hour. Let's bow our heads and thank the Lord for the Word of God. Praise God. Let's lift up our hands and our hearts. If you're thankful for his Word this morning, tell him so. He loves for you to show the spirit of thanksgiving and praise.
This is the end of sermon study number R2R24.